Let's just open in prayer this morning and just ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, I'm excited about what you've got for us in the next few weeks, coming weeks, because I know your word is going to reveal things to us that we may not have fully understood. I love your word, Lord, because your word is truth, and it opens up our hearts to the reality of the spirit realm and the power of that realm. Father, we receive all that you have for us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive this morning, hearts of expectation to take away that which you have for us this morning. Not just Logos word, Father, but Rhema, revelation from heaven this morning. Father, may I have the utterance to speak the oracles of God this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Ooh, how good is God?
Amen.
Well, we're beginning a new series this morning, and it's entitled Perfect Peace. Wow. Perfect Peace. You know, if I was to take this out into the world and market it, I'd become a very wealthy man. If I could, you know, take the spiritual realm and market it so that the world could have the peace of God, which they can't get, I would be a very wealthy man. Because what we're going to talk about this morning, it's important to understand this. This doesn't apply to those outside the kingdom. You don't have perfect peace outside of Jesus Christ. So the world would dearly love to have this peace. Now, we know from the scriptures that Jesus never came to give peace to the world, did he? He didn't come to give it to the earth. He came to give it to the church. So when we talk about perfect peace, we need to understand what peace is, how do we get peace, and also how do we attain and maintain it. So there's a lot in this. You know, studying this over the last few weeks, I'm astounded how much the Bible has to say about peace. It's all through Scripture. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's in the top three, the big three of nine: love, joy, peace. Now you might think, oh, well, that's just random. No, there's nothing random about God. God doesn't put anything in the Bible just randomly. If love, joy, and peace are put in the Scripture in that order, there's a reason. Peace is number three. And it's interesting how joy comes before peace. So open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to make this our foundation scripture. And we're going to study this out over the coming weeks. Because if peace is not something that's consistently resident in your heart, there's a problem, because it should be. If you haven't got this perfect peace that God talks about, not me, this is the King declaring it, if this isn't residing in us, there's a problem, because that's His will and desire for us, that we would walk in this peace. So I want to read from verse 1 of Isaiah 26. I'm reading from the King James. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He will keep you in perfect peace. And what's the condition? Whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because you trust him. Now that's our foundation, which we're going to refer to throughout this series. But that's a very powerful truth of God. Now, the most important thing I want to draw from that this morning is the word perfect and the word peace. They're both the same word, shalom. So what God's saying is, I'm going to give you peace, peace. I'm going to give you shalom, shalom. Now, you don't get peace greater than shalom, shalom. It's the same word. Perfect peace is double shalom. Now, you wonder why the world can't get that? Because it comes from God. Now, there's lots of ways the world tries to find peace. Through entertainment, through relationships, through investments, through work, through all sorts of things, through sports. That's not this peace. That might give them a sense of well-being and tranquility for a season. But this is a spiritual peace that God's talking about. He will keep you in shalom, shalom, whose minds are stayed on him. So what's interesting about this is perfect peace is cooperative effort between God and us. True? So if we keep our minds stayed on God, if we keep our focus on him and not the circumstances that are continually around us, you'll never leave the circumstances of this world, people. You're always going to be faced with challenges and tribulations. Jesus said it. But if we don't focus on that, if we focus on him, then the result is perfect peace. Why? Because we trust him. You'll never have perfect peace if you don't put trust in God. How can you? What can he do for you? What can he do for me without trust or belief? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those that come to him must believe that he is, and the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, when we have conversations and we have witnessing out there and we're sharing our heart, people say, well, you know, I believe Jesus was this, but I don't believe he's the Son of God. There's a problem. Because if you don't believe he's the Son, you can't believe him for anything. If we don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, then how can we receive from him? He can't. Not that he doesn't want to. It's not that God's got a great desire to see humanity perish in hell. That's not God's heart at all. If that was God's heart, he never would have sent Jesus. He sent Jesus because he loved the world. He loved the world. He didn't say, I love the church. He said, I love the world. This separated entity from me, God so loved it, he gave his son. And you know what his son is? He's perfect peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And when we look at all this, there's so much in this. This peace, you might be thinking, well, you know, how can you just every day wake up and go to bed at night in perfect peace? I'm telling you, you can. Amen. But you're going to have to do it by faith. Yep. You're going to have to be able to put aside the things that churn your heart and spirit. You know, you're worrying about your finances, your children, you're worrying about this and that and your health. And God says, if you keep your mind on me, I'm going to respond with perfect peace. And that's my peace. It's not the world's peace. That's a counterfeit. The world's peace is a counterfeit. It'll never give you peace. It entertains. But the trouble is, when the entertainment's finished, you're the same as what you were at the beginning. This is spirit peace. It's a fruit of our spirit. That's going to tell you something about the peace that God's talking about. It doesn't come to the world because it goes into the spirit that's recreated by the Father. That's how powerful this is. And that's why we need to get a hold of this. It's interesting. A few weeks ago, we did a series and we finished it on overcoming fear. And that's important. But it's interesting how God put it on my heart to now teach on this. And in between, we talked about being, you know, overcomers. You know, Joe spent 2 weeks talking about, you know, the fact that we're conquerors and overcomers. Now he's saying, now that you've understood something about overcoming fear, I want you now to walk in perfect peace. Because once you understand one, now you can walk in the other. Because if you can't deal with the fear issue, you'll never walk in the peace issue. All right. That word keep is to guard. He says, I will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on me. He says, I'm going to guard it. I'm going to guard it. Can I tell you now, if God is guarding your heart, you're in a good place. If God is guarding your possessions and your provisions and he's guarding and keeping your mind, you know, in that place of peace, you're in a good place because he doesn't fall asleep on the job. There'll never be a problem with him falling asleep on the job. Not like those that, you know, were guarding Jesus' tomb. No, no, when he guards, he guards. No enemy's going to come in and take control of your mind and your peace when he is guarding it or Amen. Keeping it. Amen. Now, we talked about shalom, shalom, but let me give you the definition. Because when you talk shalom, this is what you're declaring. I'll tell you one thing about the Israelis that's a beautiful thing is when they declare shalom over you, this is what they say about you. Now, we've talked about this before, but sometimes the truth of it can slip. It says this. This is the power of this word. When somebody says shalom over you, they're saying health, prosperity, wellness, wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, quietness, tranquility, contentment. Gee, that was an interesting response. Maybe you're just mulling over it. I'm going to say it again. This is a piece he's talking about. I'm going to give you shalom, shalom. So I'm going to keep you in perfect health, prosperity, wellness, wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, quietness, tranquility, and contentment. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's the peace that he has declared. Now, I want to say something to you. If one part of that in your life is not fulfilled, then make a demand on it. That's how God operates. When somebody's trying to take your health, like the devil maybe, then you take a stand against it. Hang on. No, no. He keeps me in perfect shalom. And that shalom includes health and prosperity and wellness and soundness and wholeness and completeness. Get in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to have to be like that. If you're going to walk this journey of faith and you're not willing to make a stand on the promises of God, you're going to be defeated. But when you stand, and I can tell you now, natural circumstances can be overcoming and overwhelming at times. And they can cause you to think, God, what are you doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's done it all. Amen. That's what he's doing. Yes. He's resting. Yes. He's finished. There'll never be any more for God to do for humanity. Jesus said it's finished. So we say, God, what are you doing? He says, I'm resting. And I'm waiting for you to enter into my rest. I'm resting. Are you going to enter into the rest of God with me? Because with my rest is shalom. So you stay focused on me and all those benefits are going to come your way. This is powerful revelation from heaven for us. Because we think, oh, well, you know, some days it's good and you feel peaceful. What was that? Feel? Get that out of your vocabulary. Don't think that this peace has got anything to do with your feelings. Got nothing to do with your feelings. Let me tell you this. God's peace is granted to us when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's not a feeling, but can be expressed through feelings. But it's not a feeling. I don't feel very peaceful today. So? Do you think when Jesus was on that Calvary cross that he felt very peaceful? But he was in oneness with the Father. He was in oneness with the Father. He was not going to let go of that reality. That's what got him on the cross. That's what kept him on the cross. That's what allowed him to go to the pit of hell for 3 days and nights to pay the price that you and I couldn't pay. He came up out of the grave and he took the keys of death and hell. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven declaring peace Amen. To the church. And we go, oh, yeah, you know, whatever, but it's tough out there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But we're not in this world. Amen. We're seated in heavenly places. Amen. We're not of it. We're not of it. We're not part of this world. You know, this turmoil, this tribulation, it's the world, it's not ours. Yes, we're right in the thick of it, but he says, right in the middle of it, you can have peace. You can have peace. You think, how's that possible? With God, all things are possible. Amen. This is a point. All right, keep reading. So interesting. In Psalm 35, in fact, go to Psalm 35. Just go back a little bit. Psalm 35. I want you to see something there. Psalm 35, 27. I think it's the last verse in Psalm 35, or second last verse. Psalm 35, verse 27. And it says this, if you're taking some notes, pick this up. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favour my righteous cause. That word favour, it actually means pleasure. This says, yea, let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Have a guess what that word prosperity is.
Shalom.
Isn't that interesting? The Lord has pleasure or delight. He has delight or favor in the peace of his servants. Now, if he has delight in the prosperity of his servants, that means he has delight in our health, our prosperity, our wellness, our wholeness, our completeness, our soundness, our welfare, our safety, our quietness, our tranquility, and our contentment. Don't tell me that God's not interested. God is interested. He delights in it. He takes delight in it. He favors that. He favors that. He has pleasure in the prosperity, the peace of his servants. And of course, coming back to Isaiah 26:3, that word mind, he says, you'll keep your mind, that's the imagination. Remember the Bible says we're to cast down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. If you don't cast those down, you're not going to have peace. So when you get the devil whispering in your ear saying, well, you're not going to be able to get that and your health is not this and your body's going to break down there, you say, no, in Jesus' name, I declare peace, wellness and wholeness.
Amen.
We cast it down. We bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means obedience to his word, not what you're feeling. Feelings have nothing to do with this walk of faith. They never have and they never will, ever. Now, you're with me?
Yes.
All right. That word, and he goes on to say, your mind is stayed. Whose mind is stayed on you or God. That means to prop or to lean upon or to take hold, to stand fast or stay. In other words, you are leaning on him. No one else, nothing else. You are stayed on him. And of course, because you trust in God. And that word trust means confident or sure. You have a confidence in him. Your confidence in God. It's not in a man. It's not in a circumstance. It's not in some religious rhetoric. It's not in a church organization. It's in him and him alone. You're not looking to some leadership for your confidence. You're looking to the one true God. This church, that's our vision. It's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation you can build a church on. That's the only one. That is the peace that God's talking about. Now, we can walk in that peace because he says we can. You know what the world's definition of peace is? I mean, I just took a dictionary definition. It's freedom from disturbance. That'd be nice. Tranquility. That's great. A stress-free state of security. That's lovely. A state of or period in which there is no war. All those are good, but the world can't get it. That's what the world wants, but the world can't get it. I read something else that said in 3,500 years of man, there's been about 280 or 90 years without war of some description. In 3,500 years of recorded history or thereabouts, whatever they recorded. It's about not even 300 years in that where there's peace. You know why? In the world there'll be tribulation. Didn't Jesus say it? He said it. Just read the news every morning. You'll see it. You'll see it. You'll see the turmoil. You'll see the strife. You'll see the broken marriages and the broken families and the domestic violence and all the things associated with a world that's in turmoil because they reject God. When you reject God, you reject peace. You can't get peace without Him. But if we have Him, we must have peace. Must have peace. It is our right. Interesting, the first time the word shalom was used in the Bible. You know, it's the what they call the, you know, the principle of first mention. The first time shalom was used is in Genesis 15:15. And I'll just say what it says here. And you shall go to your father in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. He said that to Abraham. Now, wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like God to say, you know, you're going to go to your fathers in a good old age in peace? What a beautiful promise. Amen. Guess what? We have that promise. We have that promise. Abraham had a covenant. Is ours a better covenant with better promises? Well, if he promised that to Abraham, surely we have equal, if not better. You will go to your fathers in a good old age in peace. Well, you know what? That should be our claim. We should walk in the fullness of that truth. Go with me to John 16. John 16. Go to John 16. Verse 33. Actually, I want to read from verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me." Can I stop a point there? And somebody needs to hear this. When you feel alone, can I tell you that's a lie from the pit? The Father's with you. So when you feel alone, you need to resist that. Because if you don't, the enemy's going to crush your spirit. That's from the Spirit of God. When you feel alone, you need to rise up and say, "I'm not alone. The Father's with me because He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me." That's a faith statement, and that brings God into the equation. Don't declare, "I feel alone." That's not Bible. Amen? He's not alone. Then he goes on to say, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you might have tribulation."
Will.
Okay. "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Isn't it interesting? Love, joy, peace. Can you see there's a connection? How do you walk in peace without joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why? Because it doesn't matter what the circumstances going around us, the tsunamis of life, we're in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on Him.
Amen.
And Him alone, because we trust Him. Why? Because you're in this Word and you've made it first place in your life, and you dare to believe it over any circumstance that may come against you. Whether you're alone or with multitudes around you, doesn't change. So, and of course, when he says that I've spoken these things unto you, well, he's talking about John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16. Not just here. He's been giving them a whole session, a whole teaching. How blessed these men were to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing all these truths about the Holy Ghost and the things to come. And my goodness, they had the same blessing Mary had because she chose that good part. She sat at his feet. They weren't busy. They were listening. And he said, I've shared these with you. So in me, did you pick that up? In me, you might have peace. In me. That's the place where peace is. In him. Now, are we in him?
Yes.
Is he in us?
Yes.
How can we not have peace? Now, please understand me. I'm not preaching that you're not going to have tough days. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there's not going to be a press against you at times because of circumstances that seem overwhelming. I get that. I've lived that. I know what that's like. But I'm talking about a peace in the center of your being that cannot be penetrated because you're in Christ and Christ is in you and that word is in you. And if that word is in you and it's coming out your mouth by faith, you are going to walk in overcoming victory. Amen. That's the peace that he's talking about here. It's not the circumstance. You're going to have tribulation. So am I. There's going to be days where you think, what am I doing on this earth? And he says, I need you here. I need you here. I need you to be a witness in this dark vortex that you're in. You think, my God, I wish I was just out of it. But he says, no, no, no. I don't pray that you be taken out of the world, but that you will keep them from the evil. Remember what Jesus prayed? He didn't pray that we'd go. He prayed that we'd stay. He didn't want us to be in Christian communes, singing Kumbaya and Jesus songs and not getting out in the world and touching the sinner. He didn't pray that. He didn't want that. You know, we're not to be like the 70s Jesus movement where everyone just leaves the world and just has free love. That's demonic. It's not God. You know where God wants you? Right where it hurts. I'm serious here. Right where it's tough. Because you're the catalyst for change. So often we just, oh, God, just get me out of this situation. He said, well, if I take you out, there's no more light. It's darkness. I don't want to take you out. Can you just bear with me? Can you just hang with me? Can you just stay in that place of perfect peace if you'll let your mind be stayed on me? Because you trust me. Are you willing to do that for me, son and daughter? Will you hang that little bit longer? Because I know you can, because I'm in you. And I know I'm not going to fail. So if you're just willing to hang with me a little bit longer, it's all going to be good. Were you willing to do that? And you go, yeah, Father, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. That's all good. Do you think as this church grows and as this world continues that this world's going to get better? If you've read the book, you know what's coming. You study out Matthew 24 and the prophets of the Old Testament. This world is going into darkness at some point. Whether it's in the next 10 years, 50 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, I don't know. But all I know is this. It's going to get worse in the world. But the church is going to become glorious. It's going to shine like a beacon of light and hope. Why? Because we have the truth. We got the truth. We got the word of the living God. What else do we need? We've got it. How privileged we are that we've got this book with the great and precious promises of God that pertain to life and godliness. We've got it. He gave it to us. And we say, what has God ever done for me? He gave you the book. Well, he's never really done much for my life. He might have done it for you, but look at me and my family. He gave you the book. Will you read it? Will you make it yours? He gave us the book. The Holy Writ, the power of the living God's in these pages. This is Jesus living today. This is a living word, as if he was with you in your room when you're in your study and you open this book up. Jesus is there. Amen. He's the living Jesus that's on the pages of this word. He's the living word of God. He's never changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This, how blessed we are. To have this, why do you think the devil wants to shut this book up? And you know where he's doing it best? In the church. He wants this book closed. Let's tell stories. Let's entertain the people and throw a scripture in while we're at it. I'm telling you right now, that dog won't hunt. This book has to be the primary reason why you're in church. If you're not getting the scriptures, you may as well leave. Won't do you a lick of good. Hearing me for 45 minutes ain't going to do you a lick of good if I'm not preaching the gospel. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a revelation for us. Perfect peace. We're going to grow in this. My declaration is that everyone in this church is going to deeply take this truth and make it theirs. That we're not going to allow the enemy to stir our soul and our spirit with, you know, unrest and tribulation and discomfort. Yes, that's out there, but we don't need to let it penetrate us. We can say no to that. Yeah, the job can be tough at times, but you can say, Father, this morning I declare that I'm going to have peace on the job today, that you're going to give me the wisdom in every decision I make, Lord, every decision, that you're going to give me favor with my employer and my employees and, you know, those that I need to deal with in terms of trade and what have you. You're going to bless the work of my hands today. Could you say that? Of course you can. But do you? And do I? That's what we need to be doing, declaring those promises, making them ours, calling things that be not as though they are. That's how the kingdom works. Words are seed. You've got to sow seed to get a harvest. You don't get anything from God unless you declare it first. Nothing. You can't be saved without a declaration. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Saved. Paul on the road to Damascus. Lord, who are you? What am I to do? Saved. It doesn't need to be a religious formula. Well, come down in the front and we'll say a few prayers and you declare this and I'll declare that and then you get on your knees and you have a few tears because... No! It's a heart transformation. For me, in my lounge room at home, on my knees before God. God changed me. He did. Bang. Just like that. Why? Because his word never fails. His word never fails. God is true. Let every man be a liar. So coming back to this, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Couple of things I want to make out there. Why can we trust him? I've written a few things down. We're not going to go to every scripture, but you can spend some time, you know, having a look at that. Why can we trust God? Well, here's a couple of key points that you can make a note of. He's unchanging. Malachi 3:6. Write those down or you can get on the podcast and listen to them again. That's number one. He's not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19 or Romans 3:4. I'm not going to go to everyone this morning. I just want to put it out there. Why can we trust him? His word is eternal. Psalm 119:87. His word's eternal. That came out this morning too. Won't change. He is a covenant-keeping God. What does that mean? That means what he says he meant and what he meant he said. He's covenant-keeping. He keeps his promises. He keeps it to the letter. And you can find that in Psalm 89, verse 34. Go back over these and meditate on them. Because these are the reasons you're trusting an unseen God. Why do we put faith in a God we can't see? Because we know in our heart of hearts, he's real. The Spirit witnesses to our spirit that he's real. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit, John 16 and verse 13. John 16:13. Actually, right there, let me read that one. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can show you things along the way? You're driving in the morning to work and he says, turn left instead of going that normal way because I see something you don't see. Listen to him. When you get a prompting, listen to it. You know, very rarely, if ever, are you going to hear an audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Sometimes it sounds like it was audible, but it's most times it's just a knowing. It's an inner sense, you know, do that. Aren't you feeling to do that? That's how God speaks. It's that inner witness, that still small voice. You just have a sense that God wants me to do that. Follow it. Follow it. And if you've got a peace about it, there's a really, really, really good chance it's God. If you haven't got a peace about it, wait. Let the peace of God be your umpire. Peace again. There we go. One more. Faith pleases him. Why do we put faith in God? Because it pleases God. You know, so he's an unchanging God. He's not a man that he should lie. His word's eternal. He's covenant-keeping God. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit, and faith pleases him. There are a lot of good reasons there to put your trust in God. A lot of good reasons. A lot of good reasons to do that and not go out into the world to find a solution to some problem that you may have that you know God's got an answer to. Now, you've been led by the Spirit of God. I get that. But there are a lot of things out there where we have no place going out into the world. Why? Because the Bible says, don't seek counsel from who? The ungodly. Don't seek their counsel, people. I'm telling you. And if you're going to get into a business venture with the ungodly, make sure that you're hearing from God. I mean that seriously. Make sure you're hearing from God if you're going to get into a business venture with unbelief. Now, when I study out the Bible in the Old Testament, though some of those Judean kings had got involved with some of the wicked kings of Israel, God was displeased when they got in together in union. Well, you know, where is one? I'll go fight with you. But some of those were wicked kings. And God said, I'm going to keep a lamp in Judah because of David. And some of those kings of Judah that got involved with some of the kings of Israel, it cost them. Be hearing from the Spirit of God about who you connect with in the world. Okay? That's all I'm going to say there. That's for someone. Now, Isaiah chapter 9. We're almost done. Isaiah chapter 9. Go back to the Old Testament. After Song of Solomon's, before Jeremiah. And this is an introduction. For what we're going to be looking at. All right. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. And this is a very, very famous scripture that most of you would have read many times over. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. Who is that?
Jesus.
That's who he is. God was declaring it through the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before he ever came into earth as the Word made flesh. Of the increase of his government and what?
Peace.
There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Can I tell you, when that word was declared and proclaimed by the Father in heaven, he made sure it came to pass. Jesus is, he is the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And the government is on his shoulders. His kingdom is everlasting. And guess what? We're in it.
Amen.
We're in it. How can we fail? You know why we struggle? We look at natural things. We look at the flesh and the body, and we look at our job and we look at our bank accounts, and we see ourselves as below because we're not looking to things above. We're looking to natural, temporary things. This is the kingdom that we're a part of. This is spirit. His government's over a spiritual kingdom, not a natural, decaying kingdom which is going to vanish. Can I tell you, as beautiful as planet Earth is, it's going. Don't care how good your house is, it's going to burn up one day. Your house is going to go. So is your beautiful yard and garden. You think, what? It's going to go. All those beautiful buildings on this planet, the ones that people worship sometimes, they're all going to disappear. But you know what he's going to replace it with? A new heaven and a new earth. Why do you think he's going to do that? For us. It's a playground for us. It's a plan. I used to think heaven was fluffy cloud. That was my concept as a kid. It's just a fluffy cloud. We can live forever and ever and ever in a fluffy cloud. I wasn't impressed. I didn't want to be involved. But now I'm excited because I know what we're going to get. It's going to be glorious. And we're worried about this little moment in history, in time. It's a vapor. I mean, for some of us, you know, 60 years of life, just gone. Where's it gone? It's gone. But gee, there's 60 more glorious ones to come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you want it, take it in Jesus' name. Take it. Don't let the devil rip you off 1 second. Not one. Why am I saying this? I'm speaking by the Spirit of God here. We have got perfect peace. And you know where it's residing? In your spirit. You're going to have to get it out of your spirit and make it dominant over the circumstances that sometimes take your tranquility away from you. You know? Because there's nothing in the world that's going to give you that peace. All right. I just want to finish on this point. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He's our all in all. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you inherited spiritual peace. You inherited it. It's yours. It can't be taken from you, no more than your recreated human spirit can be taken from you. It's eternal. It's sealed. You're sealed to the day of promise. God has sealed you. Unless you choose to reject him and walk away from him. And who would do that? Only a fool. Because it's a fool that says there's no God out there. A fool says in his heart there's no God. Yet they look up at the stars at night and think, you know, there's something out there that must have made that. I did as a six-year-old kid. I just look up in the car and think, there's got to be a God. Six-year-old, I remember it. I look outside and think, it's got to be more than just us. Where'd that come from? Spirit. There was a knowing. There's people out there that are, you know why they're searching for God through all sorts of mediums? They're searching it through Buddha and Islam and through spiritism and all that sort of. You know why? Because the human spirit wants to connect with their creator. Every human spirit desires to be reunited with the one that made them. That's why people are out searching for these things. But you know what? If you seek him, you'll find him. If you seek him early, you'll find him. Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Did he not say that? He said it. He's our Prince of Peace. And as we continue with this over the coming weeks, we're going to have a look at, you know, how do we know that we are walking in this peace? If it's a fruit of the Spirit, there's a telltale sign right there. And I'll tell you something else. This word, and we're going to study this out, is a very strong connection to peace. You want peace in your life? Get this word in your heart. And we'll show you biblically and scripturally why they're connected. Last thought. The enemy doesn't want us to know truth. And you know and I know, as soon as you hear the word, what he wants to do is take the word out of your heart. He wants to steal it out of your heart so that you won't walk in victory. Can I tell you now? Resist that. Resist it. If you haven't been enjoying peace in your spirit, now's the time to walk in it. Don't let the enemy steal that word that's now sown in your heart. In fact, I'm going to pray with you right now. And you agree with me. Father, this word that's sown this morning is not going to be stolen by the enemy. Father, I thank you that your word is planted into our spirit. We've received it by faith and we rejoice over it. And it's going to produce 30, 60, 100-fold, Father God, because we're going to guard this word in our heart and the enemy's not going to steal it in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts him. Isn't God good? Let's pray.